And now, go!
This is The Rich Eisen Show. Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Thank goodness we're at the end of this hour that I'm not now going to turn to the schedule and play the win-loss game for the Jets.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Because it'd be 17-0.
Today's guests, from the HBO drama Barry, Emmy Award-winning actor Henry Winkler, NFL Network reporter Tom Pelissero, Basketball Hall of Famer Grant Hill, plus legendary comedian Tom Dreesen. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, sirree. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. We could not be more fired up. Henry Winkler is here today, for crying out loud. And he's going to be first up. I mean, we're just going to get right to it here today on this program. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. And it's Rich, game four of the NBA Finals tonight. Your Celtics could take a 3-1 lead on the Warriors.
God. Don't let it happen.
DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts here on the 15th
anniversary.
He made it. He's made it his fifth day.
It's a record.
On the 15th anniversary of the day that another New Jersey boss went into the diner.
Hey, nice.
Right? 15 years ago is when Tony Soprano went out to eat.
Get the onion rings, Mike.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. Light the candle.
It's lit. And could I just offer a PSA to everybody listening?
My man is so bitter.
You're sitting in the red light. Okay, we'll get to it.
We'll get to your car accident.
Okay. So bitter.
You cannot, for karma reasons alone, cannot start a 3-hour program talking about a car accident, because this show is anything but.
Well, that's where my energy is right now.
This show is anything. Get it out. Negative thoughts are gone. Henry Winkler's about to come out here.
I know, and I might have to have him walk on my back like George Jefferson did to Mr. Bentley after
last night. Sort of a similar era of sitcoms when he first got started. He's now a star of the hit show Barry. We had Bill Hader on last week. We had Stephen Root in studio the other day. Barry's going to conclude on Sunday night. This is going to be phenomenal conversation coming up. And it's kind of funny because in hour three, we have somebody who has been a panel interviewee, a talk show guest for decades. He's been on The Tonight Show, different versions of that. Letterman, the legendary comedian Tom Dreesen's on this program. So I guess this is what I need to do. I need to just have this microphone on the desk, too.
Old school.
Carson microphone as well on the desk. Because this is like this would be a legendary Johnny Carson lineup from 1978.
Right.
You know, I feel like the way I used to draft my fantasy leagues back in 2020, you know, when it was great for a 2014 NFL season, right? But it still worked out, and today's show is going to be great.
You are correct, sir.
I couldn't be more excited. Grant Hill is on this program as well. Tom Pelissero to talk about what's going on in the world of the NFL, because we needed somebody to come on and explain what in the hell, how are the Rams able to pull this off? The hell going on with the Rams cap.
No idea.
And Davante Adams spoke yesterday about why he's in Vegas and how he talked quite a bit with Aaron Rodgers about his future and Rodgers' future in Green Bay. It's just so much to talk about. So, lots of subject matters to hit on this program as we're getting ready for NBA Finals Game 4 tonight. So, also, because again, Henry Winkler's first up, literally
he's
here.
Like in the back, right?
And we couldn't be more excited about it.
Amazing.
But I want to kind of get something off my chest, because this happened at the very end of yesterday's program. This happened as soon as we went off the air yesterday. It involves the LIV Golf Tour, or as Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, calls it, the Saudi Golf League. And round two is going
on. It's going on.
And the golf is interesting because of the names in it. And the money is insane. And this is the problem that the PGA Tour is having and going to have and going to have for a long time, is you have an insanely moneyed and funded sports venture that is starting up to compete with yours. And the people who have put the money up are not a corporation, although they're very business-minded, and they're all about business, and they don't care if they're going to lose money.
Don't care.
The Saudis are like, here's a gajillion dollars. Yep. Go get as many star players who are willing to take our money
there's
as possible.
There's more where that came from.
And there's more where that came from. We don't care if we lose it, because the whole idea is to make you forget everything that we've done in the past so you can come and do business with us. And that's what the concept of sports washing is called. And again, the names are incredible, and you cannot deny the money. Because the Canadian Open that's going on right now on the PGA Tour, for instance, whoever wins it this Sunday, whoever gets through 72 holes successfully to lead the pack, will get $1.566 million. Whoever wins the LIV Golf Tour and negotiates the golf course in just 54 holes, because it's just 54 holes, 3 days and out, and it's 4 hours on the course, it's not some long-ass day, you get $4 million. So you'd have to probably go, if to get $4 million bucks, you need to win the next three PGA Tour tournaments in a row.
And a major.
Or you could just get $4 million on the spot. No, and that's separate from the fee you accepted to just play on this tour.
Correct.
And everybody, all 48 players, get money. So if you finish dead last, DFL, on the Canadian Open, you get nothing because you're getting cut. You're done. You get nothing. Thanks for coming. You might get an appearance fee. You might get whatever scratch on the side.
Expenses covered.
Yeah,
maybe.
Who knows?
Your flight. I don't know.
If you finish DFL, you get $120,000.
Yep.
And $120,000 to get $120,000, you need to make the cut and finish at least 19th in Canada. I could go on and on and on about how monetarily it's a no-brainer. No-brainer. Yeah. I can't imagine how much money these players who said yes to the LIV Golf Tour, a.k.a. Saudi Golf League, are making. And again, as I said yesterday, for those who think that these guys are less than for taking it, you have every right to think that. My gosh. Mm-hmm. But would you? Somebody reached out to you and said, we're going to give you more money than you ever thought you could ever make, and you know you've been humping it at your job, and you know right now you will make more money on the spot than you would combine for the rest of your career. And then you could still do your career and make that much more money. So that's what these players have said yes to. But the only thing that they have to live with is the man in the mirror. Because you know who you're taking the money from. And the LIV Golf Tour knows that too. And so ever since Phil Mickelson made his comments that were reported prior to the book coming out of author Alan Shipnuck talking about who the Saudis are and what they've done and how this is a leverage play against the PGA Tour anyway. And Phil had the backlash saying, hey, what are you talking about leverage plays and things of that nature? What are you doing about that? I mean, we're talking about life here. We're talking about a journalist murdered here. We're talking about a regime who does X, Y, and Z here. And Phil had a huge backlash to the point where he gets suspended and goes away. And to Alan Shipnuck's credit, he's not like every single political reporter out there who's got a book on the previous presidential administration who has information that could have been useful in real time, and they wait until their book comes out. Shipnuck put it out there months before the book comes out because it was very timely with the LIV Golf Tour being formed. So it was been a very well manicured PR campaign this week unrolling the entire tour. So the one thing that you would think of saying, okay, that the LIV Tour should not do while we're trying to take everybody's minds off of who's bankrolling this league and tour. I mean, at the top of the list, it should be not physically threatening journalists and tamping down their right to do their job and talk about what's going on there. Right? And that's kind of the one thing you don't want to call attention to is potentially harming a journalist.
Right.
And tamping down on the rights of free speech and free journalism. So when Alan Shipnuck tweets out that he shows up to Phil Mickelson's post-match press conference, and as he says, A couple of necklace security dudes just physically removed me from Phil Mickelson's press conference, saying they were acting on orders from their boss, whom they refused to name. And he mentions Greg Norman, the initials of the head of the government in Saudi Arabia, Al Capone. Never a dull moment up in here. We kind of talked about that going out the door. And I even pointed out, like, you know, the last thing you should be doing and talking about is, you know, threatening a journalist and kicking him out, preventing him from doing his job. So then Shipnuck tweets out him telling this, texting it to Greg Norman. And Norman's response is, did not hear, thanks for letting me know. And then Shipnuck has a photograph that got sent to him of one of those aforementioned necklace dudes talking to him. And it's true, he doesn't really have a neck. And who's right behind Shipnuck watching the whole thing go down but Greg Norman?
That's amazing.
And it's Greg Norman with the look of staring a hole through him.
Very unpleased.
He's like staring at the whole thing, and it's like, hey, Greg.
Look at
just
that smirk.
Own up to it, man. Own up to it. How can you believe he doesn't even tell Shipnuck? Yeah, I did it. Let's talk.
Right, exactly.
Hey, man, yeah, I knew about it. Let's talk. Or I knew about it. Tough. he won't even own up to it to the guy.
I was right behind you.
Greg, could you be more weak? Unbelievably, the guy who has been most straightforward about this, it's been Phil. It was Phil. He said the quiet part out loud.
Yep.
He, you know, obviously paid a price for it, but not the ultimate price in the fact that he can't ply his craft for the Live Tour and get a $200 million appearance fee and now be the ambassador of it for it. Can you imagine? Greg Norman can't even be straight up with this guy who's got the receipts. I don't know if they've had a conversation since then. I'm imagining they haven't, because Shipnuck made that photograph the banner of his Twitter feed.
I'm on his page right now.
That's fantastic.
There it is.
The look on Norman's face.
And it's just like, what an a-hole. It's just the only way to put it. It's just, I'm sorry to be just so low common denominator, but it's like, Greg, come on. You're literally water skiing behind yachts. You've got this whole thing set up. You have successfully launched this tour. You have 1,000% shot across the PGA Tour bow. You change the golf world is changing. Like I said yesterday, it's like the NIL deal. The PGA Tour has been caught flat-footed, just like the NCAA and the athletic directors and the coaches about the NILs. They're coming down the pike, and they have no plan for it, and it doesn't look like the PGA Tour has much of one either. Greg, just own up. I mean, can we just be honest about what this is? Can they just be honest about what it is? What a rollout that you have manicured and well and completely set up on the PR front. So let's just threaten a journalist and then not own up to it, or make a journalist feel threatened and not own up to it. What a mess! It's ridiculous. I don't even care who wins.
Well, some guy's name I don't know is leading.
Is he go? I mean, so.
And guys, Alan did say this in the tweet, for what it's worth. I'll say this about Liv. The food is A++.
I'm sure.
So there's that.
No, and they donated £1 million to local charities. I mean, they're trying
the
to
washing
do
is,
all of that. Yeah. Right? No, I know. And then and then this happens. Come on. Which just shows you who they really are right there. All right, let's take a break and get a much more happy days, if you will.
Hey, now.
You like it?
Yeah, well done.
Henry Winkler's here! This is going to be awesome. Don't go anywhere.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
And back here I on just our terrestrial say radio. That
the two kids
yes,
in
sir.
That scene.
Yes.
One of their first jobs, they were adorable to be with.
In that scene.
Oh, my God.
And you are listening to, if you're just joining us on a terrestrial radio audience, the voice of the great Henry Winkler.
Does that mean I have to change my voice?
No, you do not.
Okay, fine.
You just be who you are, Henry Winkler.
Because
we will take you as you are.
Thank you.
So when...
Can I just say that I'm wearing a Gene Cousineau-esque kind of jacket for the TV audience... But I wanted the radio audience to know that.
We have many masters here that we're serving, so I appreciate you addressing
my
all
pleasure.
Of them. I know. This does look like a very Gene Cousineau outfit that you have right
here.
Do I
get to keep this cup?
1,000,000%. The Rich Eisen Show mug is yours to keep, Henry Winkler.
It has Rich Eisen running on it.
Yes, in a suit.
In silhouette. He looks like James Bond.
I appreciate that.
And in blue it says, Rich Eisen.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Henry Winkler, here on the Rich Eisen Show, making sure
like
his thirst is quenched.
I like to bring it alive for the radio audience. How am I doing? Raise your hands. You see everything?
We're doing great.
It's good?
Seeing it. We're hearing it. Henry Winkler here on the program.
Yeah.
So when did Barry first get placed in front of you as an idea? Henry?
So I was with my wife. Mm-hmm. We were in an estate planning meeting. Because when you have children, they all want something. And so we were driving down Ventura Boulevard in the valley here in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Hader. Bill Hader. Oh, my God. I watched him on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Okay. HBO. HBO. I've never worked for them. Now, they want you. You're on a small, short list.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, yes, I am small. I am short. But is Dustin Hoffman on that list? Because if he is, I'm not going to get it because he's a movie star.
Yes.
They said no. I said, I'll go in. And then I auditioned twice and waited very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally Bill called and said, I'd like you to do this part. That was in 2016.
Wow.
2022, this Sunday, HBO, 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Yes.
The finale, one of the most dramatic scenes I've ever done in my career.
This Sunday in
this
the season
Sunday,
finale.
10 o'clock, HBO. Did I say Barry?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yes, you did. Because and it's kind of difficult to describe to people who are unfamiliar with it,
have
as you might have been.
Patrick Mahomes?
I have.
Have you?
Yes, I have met Patrick Mahomes.
He's one of my heroes.
Oh, is that right?
That's true.
Oh, okay.
I root for that team, even though I've never lived there.
Yes.
I think he is just phenomenal to watch.
Apropos of...
Nothing. But
I was going to talk about the season finale of Barry. And you were talking about the season finale of two
Super
Bowls
ago. And I was hoping
ago.
Patrick was in it. Let me ask you another question.
Yes.
That man on the Rams, is his name Donald?
Aaron Donald, yes.
Aaron
sir.
Donald.
Yes.
Did he make a deal?
He did.
He did.
He did.
Congratulations. No, he was going to go home, right?
He said, was indeed going to go
eight
home.
Years.
Yes.
That's all I know.
He was going to go home and say he was at peace with his career.
Yeah.
And then the Rams said, we are going to give you a new contract.
Right.
You do not have to play any much longer other than what we were going to do. You were going to have 3 more years left on your contract. We will keep it at 3 years, but instead give you $40 more million.
Holy mackerel. Okay, I'd like to play football, please.
And that's how you don't go home.
Yes.
That's how you stay.
No, I understand. I've met so many men who have... You know what the question I ask of football players?
What is that, Henry?
Okay, here it is.
Yes.
How do you get up? Once you are hit by either one or more of those gigantic human beings flying through the air, how do you, as a short Jew, I would be knocked into and impressed into the grass.
Yes.
There would be, my nose would be in the grass.
Yes.
How do they get up?
I guess just
$40 million.
$40 million, but also very few of them. And I've been with the league for about 20 years now as the NFL. Right. Very few of them are short Jews in their own
right.
Is what I'm saying
to you. You mean there's not a Rosenstein on the...
I haven't, or a Guildenstern, I haven't seen any of them, Henry. Okay. I mean, there have been members
of
the
tribe. Here he comes, number 42. Moses Schwartz is running up the field. Look at that. He lost the ball.
But you have played a football coach in your career, Henry, have you not?
Adam Sandler asked me to be in The Waterboy.
Yes.
One of my favorite experiences in my career.
There you are with Bobby Boucher.
Now, let me tell you, this man is a genius. He doesn't dress well, but he's unbelievable.
Yes.
We were pointing at a screen for the radio audience of Adam Sandler.
Look at you. Look at you painting word pictures for the radio audience, Henry. You're a lead pipe wielding professional.
But he is in charge of every detail of a production that he does.
And it must have been a blast doing The Waterboy for you, right?
Yeah. He knows exactly what he wants. Mm-hmm. But every great person that I've worked with, Bill Hader, Alec Berg, Gary Marshall, were so clear about what they wanted that in that structure comes freedom for the actor.
I'm so glad, Henry Winkler here on The Rich Eisen Show, you mentioned...
And the radio.
Yes. I'm so glad that you mentioned Gary Marshall, because...
My mentor.
I am a diehard Odd Couple fan from back in the day.
Right.
Also, just him in the shows that he was a part of, even his acting in Albert Brooks's movie Lost in America as the casino chief who Albert Brooks is asking for his money back from. When did you first meet Gary Marshall?
In the audition for the Fonz, and he was there. Now, I did not know at that moment his reputation, but I'm telling you that he taught me everything that I know about the decorum of being a professional, being on the set, being an executive producer. He was amazing. I miss him all the time.
I imagine so. I mean, it just, and he as funny as they can
funny,
come.
Funny, serious, you know, this is the scale. I called him down to the set. I said, Gary, I don't know how to do this scene. He tilted his head. 55 solutions fell off the top of it. Now my problem is to pick one.
Right.
Because they were all great.
And one of the greatest directors of all time as well, right?
Because he had such love, not only for the process, but also for the people that he was working with, crew and the actors. So now we're doing Happy Days. I get my call, the first one to go to Little Rock, Arkansas. In order to make a personal appearance. I'm getting $1,000 to fly Friday night, show up Saturday morning, sign for a crowd for the newspaper, I've forgotten the name, of Little Rock, Arkansas. Okay. Gary is saying the names of the guest stars. I went up to Gary and I said, please, you have to hurry up because I have to get a plane. He nodded. I waited. He put the microphone down. He came. Only time in 11 years that I worked with him professionally. Grabbed me by my shirt, put me against the wall, and said, The guest cast has every right to be introduced like you do. Don't ever interrupt me again.
Ooh.
I said, Gary, I'm sitting in this chair now. I am not saying a word. You call me if you need me. I'm here with my water in my Rich Eisen cup. Honestly,
oh
that happened. A gorilla jumped out of this gentle soul. He took no gumph from anybody.
Mm.
There was a decorum, and that was your rule.
Who are you being as Gene Cousineau on Barry?
I am being every acting teacher. I've had about 14.
Okay.
From college through graduate school. I am being a really famous teacher here in L.A. You know, now, you're an actor. You're trying so hard to take a class. You're a barista, and that's your job. And you're waiting for your break. You make no money, so you've got rent, car, travel, food, acting class. So this acting teacher asked his students to buy his original art. They had no money, and he wanted them to buy his art. That, isn't it?
And thus Gene Cousineau.
And all of a sudden, you know, I didn't know. I was playing an acting teacher. I taught actually five classes in my life. They were master classes.
Sure.
First one at Northwestern. I saw there was a certificate on the wall of Northwestern in your office.
Yes.
Okay. And then three at Emerson College. One at down at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. Okay, for your viewing audience and your listening audience,
yes, sir.
A great restaurant in Austin. Remember this, I'm telling you. L-O-R-O, Loro. You will not be sorry. Okay, and then and one. Well, I have information about it.
It's incredible. It's great, Henry.
Yeah, and also I did one for Vulture. The internet said
sure.
Vulture. I taught a class.
And
put them all together, and out came Gene.
And thus, an Emmy Award winning character.
And
for
I'm
you.
Very grateful.
Yeah, it's incredible, Barry. Again, the
I
season
did win an
coming.
Emmy for a voice, for a daytime Emmy for directing, and one for an animated voice. But put them all three together, and I've got a nighttime Emmy.
There you go. Yeah. Again, season three finale Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern on HBO and
it's
HBO
Barry.
Max. It's called Barry. Henry Winkler here on the Rich Eisen Show. We have a segment called Celebrity True or False that
I'm
we would like
to play
with. Thank you. God bless you. Henry Winkler, play it. We have great production value just for you. Hit it, please.
Hit it.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
There you go. That's our production value right there.
Okay.
No.
For the radio audience,
yes,
there was a mediocre kind of cartoon.
Yes.
With a director's chair and some canisters of film.
That's right. And then the drop of Jack Nicholson. Yeah.
Jack Nicholson is one of my idols.
Have you ever acted with him?
I've never acted with him. I want to get to the point where I might be like him as an actor.
Let's start with first
I
up.
I always think of Jack Nicholson.
Yes.
His soul and his character are so intertwined, you can't even put a piece of paper in between
That's
them.
True.
Oh, my goodness. He is brilliant.
That is true.
Yeah.
First up, Henry Winkler, true
I'd like
or
to
false?
Act with Bob De Niro. I figure if I put it out there, it might happen.
It's called speaking
it into
existence.
Bob is listening?
Absolutely. We have ways to make that
Robert,
happen.
Robert, I'd like to act with you.
Well, one thing's for sure is you're definitely going to meet Patrick Mahomes off this interview.
I'd
that's
like
for
to.
Sure. Before you were a successful actor, director,
Can
and producer.
I get a selfie?
True or false? Were you an extra on a game show in New York City receiving $10 for the role?
Is true.
What is this?
You What's know what? Truth? I've completely forgotten because it came and went. But I was on the show, and I got a check for $10.
What show was it?
Let's say that it was called Are You Telling the Truth? That is not the name. I just made that up.
Okay, but you received, that was one of the, that was your first
gig? I thought I was on my way. I'm not kidding. It was thrilling.
And you got a $10 check out of it.
Okay. But I'm 76, and I have completely forgotten everything about my past.
Well, maybe we can jog some memories here.
Thank you.
You mentioned your audition earlier for The Fonz.
Yes.
True or false, you were channeling Sylvester Stallone, your Lords of Flatbush co-star, when you auditioned for The Fonz. Is that true or false?
Partially.
Okay.
Sly, who is so funny and a brilliant writer, came to Hollywood, and his car broke down, and he had just moved here, and so he called me, and I picked up his wife, his first wife, Sasha, their bull mastiff dog that had so much drool, I needed a snorkel to get in the back seat when I dropped them off, and Sly, all his goods,
yes,
and I took him to their apartment in Hollywood, you know, like on El Camino. And then he gave me a script. And I took the script to ABC, and I said, look, it's a friend of mine, and I'd like to produce this. And they bought it. And then they said to me, but here, we have to replace the writer. I went back to Sly. I said, here's the good news. We sold it. The bad news is they want to replace the writer. He says, Henry, don't let him do that to me. I said, okay. I went back to ABC. I said, I know. I know. You don't do this. But I need that script back, and here's all the money. They said, we don't do that. I said, I know, but I need that script back, and here's the money. I got the script, gave it to Sly. A year and a half later, Rocky came out.
That was the script?
That was the script.
Come on.
Honest to God, not a penny did I see.
Wow.
No, but, you know, the thing is that he is brilliant. He was so distraught. I couldn't let somebody else rewrite
not.
A script.
But that was, so Rocky was originally going to be a TV movie? Is that what you're saying?
Originally, that's, I sold it to ABC.
Jeez.
But he is so good, and he is, he's so powerful to be around. That when I, in the beginning, when I did The Fonz, I would think, what would Sly do?
And that's what...
And then it came out.
That's how you brought that to the role. What a story. Next up, Henry Winkler, true or false?
True or false?
You never actually rode the motorcycle on Happy Days.
No, that's not true. 17 seconds for however long it took me to go up that hill in total terror. I rode the bike. Now, on the soundstage, soundstage 5 on Paramount Lot.
Yes.
I had to go 5 feet. And I'm so dyslexic that I didn't know the gear from the thing where you turn it and then you with your foot, you boom it and then and you change the gear. I put it into gear and I must have raced it. And I shot forward.
Oh, my God.
I nearly killed the director of photography. He jumped out of his chair in time. The bike went down. We slid under the sound truck. They came racing to make sure the bike was fine. Because it was rented. Then they went for the actor. And it was brand new, so I wasn't yet the Fonz of the Fonz.
Right.
I was just Henry playing the Fonz.
So how was the bike?
Oh, and the bike. Here's a great piece of information.
Right.
The bike was rented to the company, to Paramount, by Bud Akins. It was the same bike that Steve McQueen used to jump the fence
in The Great Escape.
What?
Okay, so the bike that Steve McQueen used in The Great Escape was the bike that you, as the Fonz,
I eventually
riding.
Used yesterday. They gave me a Harley, but being short, I never touched the ground.
Yes.
And all I did was sit on the bike, so I would fall over most of the time. And then they got me this Triumph, and oh my God.
This is already the greatest edition of Celebrity True or False ever, and we're halfway through.
Okay, here's another story.
Please.
Steve McQueen is and was my action hero.
Sure. Why not?
I'm walking down the street in Beverly Hills, Rodeo Drive. He is walking toward me. I'm walking toward him. And all we did was nod. We nodded. And to this day, all these years later, I am so crazy that I didn't say I need to take a picture with you. I'm not kidding.
That's it.
And we nodded.
Well, at least you have the nod.
Yeah.
Right? Next up. You are an accomplished water skiing enthusiast.
Yes,
I
am.
You once worked as a water skiing instructor.
Yes, I am.
When the Happy Days writers found out, they wrote it into the script,
yes.
And that's how Jump the Shark was born.
Okay, my father, a very short German Jew, said to me, "Tell Gary Marshall you water ski." I said, "I'm not telling him I water. Tell him you water ski." So he told me enough times. I went to Gary. I said, "I'm just going to say this. My father wants you to know I'm a water skier, and I was a counselor in camp as a water skiing counselor." All of a sudden, I'm water skiing. We ripped the lining out of the jacket, and I did all of the water skiing except the jump. They wouldn't let me do a stunt, you know, because if you get hurt, then
sure.
That. Now, I pull up on the beach. I let go of the rope. I pull up on the beach. I step out of the skis, and I go, "Hey, look at that," and I'm smiling.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the scene, half of that smile is the Fonz going, "Hey, I did it." And the other half is Henry going, "Oh, I can't believe you did it." True.
And you are aware of the phrase, "jump the shark."
I am.
And it's meaning within the pop culture lexicon,
I am.
Right?
A young man, John Heim.
Yeah, he's a Michigan guy.
A Michigan guy, yeah. In his dorm room.
Yeah.
With his roommate, don't know his name. They came up with the phrase, "jump the shark," because of that episode.
Yes.
And I met him years later. Now, this is America. He comes up with a phrase. There's a book. There's a game. He's on the radio, on the Howard Stern Network.
That's true.
Now, people say, "How did you feel?" With, you know, that this phrase, "jump the shark," every time they mentioned it, and it was in the newspaper, they had a picture of me water skiing. At that time, I had great legs. So I didn't care for 1 minute. We were number one for 5 years after that. What did I care?
That's
that
true.
There was a phrase.
That's true. That's true.
Hey, all right.
Oh, my God. And it's all because your father made you tell Gary Marshall that you
water skied. When I went to the Carter White House, he said to me, you have to take cake. You're going to see the president. You take some cake. I said, "I don't think I need to take cake, Dad. Very important. Go to Babka." That was the name of the store.
And you brought the cake?
I didn't. I left it in the car.
I've got two more for you, Henry Winkler.
I'm listening.
True or false, you turned down the lead role of Danny Zuko in Grease, which went to John Travolta.
Yes, that is so true.
Why'd you do
that? Well, because I thought, you know, I had done the Fonz, and I thought I was going to beat typecasting.
Sure.
I thought, I'm not going to do that, because then I'm just reinforcing that kind of character. Now, I went home and had a ginger ale. John Travolta went home and bought a plane.
Wow.
Okay, so that was a mistake.
Wow.
All right. There you go. The other thing is, I can't sing. I want to sing.
Sure.
I wish I could sing.
Yeah.
If there is such a thing as reincarnation, I'm coming back as the Boss.
Springsteen.
Or Sia.
Sure. Okay.
Or Brandy Carlile.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see Brandy Carlile pretty soon.
No, fantastic.
I'm so excited.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Last one for you. True or false, you were offered your choice of lead roles in the, I love this movie, Night Shift. You chose Chuck because you wanted to play Richie Cunningham for once.
The same reason. I thought that Billy Blaze, the other character, was very flamboyant.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Fonz was flamboyant. I would play Chuck. Ron Howard directed it. It was his first film for a major feature.
No kidding.
It was for Warner Brothers. He said, "You can play either role." I said, "Okay, so I'm going to play Chuck. I'm going to play Richie."
Mm-hmm.
And then we auditioned everybody in town. And Michael Keaton was the last guy on the list.
No kidding.
Wow. He came in within 30 seconds. Ron looked at me. I looked back at him. And Michael Keaton was nothing short of brilliant.
So you knew as soon as
Oh my gosh, as soon as he opened his mouth.
And that, what a fun movie that is.
Oh, you know what? It was written by Lowell Ganz and Babalu Mandel, two guys who ran Happy Days for 7 years.
Right.
And they are just unbelievable comedy writers. They are now, I think that they are the greatest doctors. Doctors meaning that if a script isn't working, you send it to these two guys.
Yes.
They get enough money to buy a mansion in order to rewrite it.
It's just a pleasure to have you here
Thank you.
Henry Winkler.
Did we ever talk about Barry?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
I mean, we're
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
HBO,
absolutely.
Sunday
we
night.
Talked about your character. Yeah. I was going to go a little bit further into the script. You said you wanted to meet Patrick Mahomes.
I
was just taking your lead from
that. I really do.
You know, because we love the show. Barry, we cannot get enough of the program. Well, it is dark. It is very dark.
It is so dark, I bought a miner's cap so that I could see where the hell I was going. But this Sunday, it is in. I just saw it last night. So I could talk about it. I just saw the episode. It was jaw-dropping.
You said one of the most moving, dramatic scenes you've ever been a part of.
You know what?
Career.
And that's not even hyperbole.
Okay.
I am willing to stand by that.
And Hader came
on
the show.
And I act with Robert Wisdom, the actor Robert Wisdom, who plays the father of my love.
Right. And we saw in episode 7 when he was talking to you, he zeroed in on the beads of sweat on your forehead. So
yes,
he kind of already
true.
Knows that something's up with you. So I can't wait to see what episode 8 has to unfold.
Wow.
It is great. And Bill Hader said season 4 is already picked up. So that's great.
He's writing it. I spoke to him last night. And he told me that they're deep in writing of season 4.
Can't wait. And
how lucky am I?
You know, Henry, your career is one of our favorites. Honestly, when we told everybody in our lives that you were coming in, they all were like, how lucky are you? So
you.
We feel the same way with you being here.
Really, I am one grateful dude.
You know, right back at you. And next time you come on,
yes.
We'll make sure Mahomes is on the phone. We'll do that.
Truly?
You like him that much, huh?
I think that his ability is such a cut above. He is so passionate in the way he plays.
Yes.
He is so improvisorial in the way he plays. He is so sure. I just think it is instinctually great, actually.
Okay. Well, he now knows that, and we will make sure that we'll make this happen.
Yeah.
It would be my
honor.
Does
he listen?
Yes.
Patrick, hi.
He does.
How are you?
These things.
So can I just say, no, if Patrick is listening, I'd like to, you know, we make a great chicken stuff with ricotta and spinach with an unbelievable reduction. It can be yours if you're here.
Well, the Chiefs come play the Chargers, right? The Chiefs
they
play
do.
The Chargers.
They do, actually.
We'll make this happen.
Those guys are good, too.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're good quarterbacks.
Yeah, they are.
They are not Mahomes.
That is correct.
No.
Henry,
and then Pete Carroll is my favorite coach.
From the USC
from
days.
From the USC
and you have followed
days. He let me come into the locker room. I heard him talk to the guys in on halftime during the rehearsal. It was great.
Henry Winkler, check out Barry season 3 finale this Sunday, 10 Eastern time on HBO and HBO Max at HWinkler4, the number 4 real on Twitter.
You know what? Can I just say about Twitter?
Sure.
I need just a few more Twitterers in order to get to a million. I can't buy, you know, Twitter people.
You're Henry Winkler. You don't buy it.
No. So
you'd jump the shark if you did that.
It's true. And I want to stay on this side.
Thank
so
you.
I have 922,000 followers.
Yes.
I'm so dyslexic, I don't know how many more I need for a million. You figure it out and join me.
78,000. 78,000.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We do the math for you here on the Rich Eisen Show. And the mug's yours to keep.
I'm
and
so,
so are
excited.
The memories. And so are the memories.
And the water in it?
And you may consume it however you wish.
Okay.
That's Henry Winkler here on the Rich Eisen
what
Show.
What a pleasure.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network, it's hard to love Henry Winkler any more than we thought we loved him.
Right, exactly.
Now we do even more, having met him in person.
Delightful.
We don't have too many guests here for a half an hour.
No.
But honestly, we just scratched the surface of the stories that he can tell, and then we also got a glimpse of how compelling and funny he is, and how nice he is, and how giving he is, and how he loves talking about this stuff. And his love of it makes us feel so special that he's sharing it. And we got a glimpse of it when we talked to Bill Hader last week, of him saying, stopping in the middle of shooting a scene on a stage on the Paramount lot for Barry, right? Isn't that what he said at the Paramount lot?
Yeah, it was in season two. They were shooting this super dramatic scene that's in the finale. And then Henry just stops and goes, "Oh, this is where we shot Happy Days.
And then they all stopped.
Goes, well, what?
And he took the entire crew, cast and crew of Barry on a little tour of, this is where that happened. That's where this happened. This is where that happened. And we just got a full on glimpse of that.
Incredible. And he's wearing like a jacket that his character wears on the show.
It might actually be straight from wardrobe.
I would say very likely.
How funny is that? By the way, I mean, he sold the script of Rocky to ABC, and they wanted to get rid of Stallone, and he backed Stallone's play, got the script back, and that's Rocky?
I can't believe he got it back. Like,
and then he said, and I totally knew, I didn't know the answer to the question, but I knew what the answer was most likely going to be as to why he turned down the role in Grease. It's just, you don't want to be typecast. And early on in your career, you do Lords of Flatbush, then you do Fonz. Now you're going to do Grease? Is that the only thing you can do? It's a totally understandable concern for a young emerging actor to do. And his line is that, you know, I went home and had a ginger ale. Travolta went home and bought a plane. Oh, my God.
I mean, I was done.
That could be one of my favorite lines that's ever been uttered on this program. And Patrick Mahomes, sir, we are going to hook you up with the Fonz.
This is going to happen.
We're
going to
hook you up with the Fonz, and not just because we want to do anything for Henry Winkler, right?
I would do anything.
But that chicken with ricotta dish and a reduction that he says is waiting for Mahomes when he comes here to Los Angeles, it would be our honor to make sure he goes over to the Winkler house and gets that pre-game meal versus the Chargers here in town.
I want that pregame.
That sounds amazing.
Right now.
Yeah.
Just sounds dynamite. And by the way, Tom Dreesen, longtime legendary comedian who has been on the Tonight Shows, plural, and Letterman, and is, used to open up for Sinatra, I think. That's an hour three with Grant Hill and Tom Pelissero. We'll talk NFL when we come back. How amazing was that?
Well, Bill Hader, told us a story. I think Henry just really likes giving people food, because remember, Bill was like, he brought a pie to set, and we're like, yeah, we have all this craft services. Well, my wife made it, and it's just, everyone could just have a little bite. It's so delicious.
Well, it comes from his dad, who told him to bring a cake to President Carter.
That was great. Too.
You got to bring a cake to President Carter. And how
did you bring the cake? I left it in the car.
Being the son of a two very Jewish people, I totally get the whole thing of, okay, Dad, I got it. I'll tell Gary Marshall I water ski, all right? Just like, fine.
Leave me alone.
I get it. Yeah. And that led to him water skiing in a show for Happy Days, which led to Jump the Shark. And how about him dropping an F-bomb here?
Yeah.
Didn't see that.
When he's like, first of all, people think it's a bad thing for me that the term jump the shark is in reference to once a certain thing happens in a series, a television series, that is out of character for the show, and then the show goes downhill after. Right. That's when something jumped the shark. Something was great, now it's not so great. That's the phrase, jump the shark.
That's where it came from.
And his answer is like, so people ask me, you know, how do you feel about it? Well, every single time it's mentioned, there's a shot of me water skiing, and I had great legs at the time. And we were number one 5 years after that anyway, so F him. Oh, my God.
Hit him with the high.
We're like, what the hell? What the hell just happened in this show studio?
I mean,
we don't usually do. So we don't usually do. That was epic. Let's talk about the thing we just did over and over again. Call us and tell us how epic we are. You know, like, but that was epic.
It was pretty epic. We were talking about it. Is that immediately in the top five of our all-time interviews?
It's got to be. TJ,
our in-studio guests. Like, it feels like.
I mean. Let's put it this way. Right? It's very rare for us to have a guest, right, where every person, and there's not a lot of us that work here, lined up to take a picture, and that's true.
We just did that. Should we post all of our... didn't do a group, did we?
We did not do a group.
I didn't want you guys in my picture with the Fonz.
It was four guys, four cabs.
That's even more.
Four guys, four Fonz. That's what it was. We didn't take a group following it. Oh, my God, you're right.
We just all wanted our own.
Is it still here?
And then some of you walk over, and you're like, get the hell out of here.
Well, just Del Tufo was the first one.
I was in.
But Del Tufo was the first one.
Oh, my gosh.
Come back, Henry.